The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. We are going to go a couple different directions in today's show. Pedro Gomez, ESPN Baseball Insider, going to be with us. The Diamondbacks have not been good on this road trip. They are in San Diego tonight. Archie Bradley has not been good, and there's been baseball, beanball brawls going on. And Pedro was at Barry Bonds' deal last weekend. You know, they retired Bonds' jersey, and those of you that know the backstory, maybe you don't. Pedro and Barry Bonds, Eric, what would be the best way to describe the relationship? Frosty would be an understatement. They're not blood brothers by any stretch of the imagination. How would we characterize Barry Bonds and Pedro? And I'll ask him this, too, but I'm just seeing if we're on point here.
Cantankerous? Is that a word?
Cantankerous.
I don't know what that means, but I think that fits.
Do you think Bonds should walk over to Pedro and say, why don't we do a book together?
I'd buy it on the front page the first day it was out.
Don't you think? I mean, I'm Pedro, and here's my first time in ripping Barry Bonds, and here's how it went. You know, that sort of thing. I think that'd be fun.
They have a long history.
Yeah.
A long history. When you follow someone around for years and years and years, I mean, I'd love to just grab a beer with Pedro and just say, off the record, tell me about Barry Bonds.
Have you never done that? Because
six hours
close.
Later. No, I've always wanted to. And he told me he would. We just haven't got together. But
I told you I saw him in a parking lot, and he looked like, well, he was in total decompress ESPN mode. I didn't recognize him. It was great. He had the beard going and everything. It was just awesome. It's like when you see people, they're not on TV, and they just let themselves go. That's the best. Like, wow, you look like crap. But he didn't. He just looked like Pedro hanging out.
And by the next day when he was on ESPN, it was like a totally different person.
It was like Superman.
Shaved and dressed up and all
that
stuff.
Oh, yeah. There were times where I worked at Channel 3 where I was working with front-facing female talent, and they'd walk in, and they just look like they woke up, and the kids were driving them crazy, and they were fighting with their husband or their boyfriend, and they'd eaten 10 gallons of ice cream. And then they'd jump in the makeup room, and they'd come out, and they're Wonder Woman. And they'd sit down and they'd kill it. And then they'd go out to their car, and their car is a mess. Dry cleaning was everywhere, and they had no gas in their car, and they had 2 cents in their name. It was just crazy. Pedro will be with us today. Goody at the movies. The last couple of times that we've had Bill on have been some of the best segments with Bill since we started doing this with him 7 years ago. Full disclosure, when I first started doing this, Eric didn't like doing Goody at the movies, right? I'm not putting words in your mouth. That was just a fact. I think you didn't like that segment. Am I right on that?
Oh, there are times I still don't like it, but it has nothing to do with Bill. It has more to do with Bill's phone, Bill's connection, things like that.
But Bill's been fun. The last two times, Bill's been as good as ever. And now you like that segment. I see you watch it every week. If Bill's...
Of course. I produce the show. I should watch it. But even the bad segments I need to watch.
But even through the years, when we first started this, it's fair to say you were not big on high school.
I came from a traditional sports background. I did not come from a non-traditional sports background, what we do here at Sports 360 AZ.
Non-traditional. Well, where did I come from then?
We're
dysfunctional.
We're not what I would call a traditional company.
No, I would agree with that. Heck yeah, I'd agree with that.
You can't stereotype me for the job I used to have before you hired me.
But
you can't do that.
But to your credit.
Because I never made fun of you for being on TV.
You should have.
No, I didn't.
Many times.
I didn't.
I've given you ample opportunity through.
It's not my style, Brad. You know that.
It's going to be 8 years in September. I've given you ample opportunity to throw me under the bus.
Are we still a startup after 8 years?
Sure.
Okay.
Every day is a startup. Every day is the way it goes. My favorite story of the day, I probably shouldn't lead the show with it, but I won't. It just involves Tiger Woods and his caddy. And I'm going to leave it at that. I'll get to that after we get to Pedro here in a few minutes. Our opening comments brought to you by Sagicor. Now protect what matters most. You've got to do it through life insurance, guys. When was the last time you took a good, long, hard look at where you are in life, right? Do you have it all together? There's that wife, that girlfriend, that family, the friends, the people that are relying on you. And there's all different sorts of ways to go through investments and life insurance. So please log on to Sagicor now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Pedro Gomez here in a few minutes. So yesterday I went out to Cardinals. as much as I don't like August football, it's like on the top 10 list of things that I don't like about sports. Yesterday wasn't that bad. It really wasn't. The Cardinals were in their empty stadium. There were no fans in there. There was like, I don't know, 10 media people. And the Cardinals are pumping in crowd noise to try to simulate what it will be like on the road, whether it's this Friday night when they play at New Orleans or during the regular season. Can I make big adjustments or broad statements about what I saw yesterday? I saw receivers drop balls. Happens. It's August. It's the middle of training camp. There's still three more fake games to go. Did Josh Rosen make some good throws? Yes, he did. He also made them against his own team. So for me to walk in here and say, man, Josh Rosen just killed it. Oh my gosh, he looks so great. And Sam Bradford, man, he overthrew this guy. And I don't think he's going to be good at all this year. Okay. And there's places you can go for that stuff. It's fine. I'm not going to sit here and make big, bad statements. Yesterday was interesting to me as Rod Graves was sitting next to Michael Bidwell up in the stands, about 30 rows up. Michael sits there and he watches practice. I walk in and I see Michael sitting there talking to somebody. I'm like, that guy looks a lot like Rod Graves. And it sure enough was Rod Graves. Rod Graves, the former general manager of this team. He's now in the NFL front office. And with what's going on with Steve Keim, I'm pretty sure it wasn't Michael saying to Rod, I think we need some depth at the backup right guard spot. I'm pretty certain somewhere along the way the conversation had to turn into how is Steve doing and what's going on. I don't know that as fact, but they're giving me a better reason why Rod Graves would come all the way off from the league offices to sit and talk with Michael Bidwell. That was interesting to me. Josh Rosen, after practice was over, had a media scrum, and some of the questions that people were asking him, he said, I really don't like that question. That's fine. I dealt with Jim McMahon in San Diego. Jim, after his run in Chicago, went to the Chargers. He didn't like dealing with the media. Our friend Clark Judge, if I told you a story, Eric, the one about Jim McMahon blowing his nose on him, our friend Clark Judge is there with TJ Simers, TJ at the time, with the San Diego Union Tribune. Clark working at the Tribune, and TJ then went to the LA Times. There's TJ, there's Clark, and McMahon is asked a question, and he turns and puts a finger on his nose and blows it on the reporter. That's not Josh Rosen. That's not what I'm getting at. I wrote this morning that he was, short. I don't really like that question and that sort of thing. I'm fine with that if there's a little punky QB in him, which some of my LA media friends said he can be like that. The only thing I want to see out of Josh Rosen is for him to perform as the 10th overall pick in the NFL draft. Pretty simple. I'm not asking for much. I know that in places like Buffalo, they want to see Josh Allen. I know that they want to see Sam Darnold in New York, and I'm pretty darn sure they want to see Baker Mayfield in Cleveland. I don't have to see Josh Rosen on the field against Washington week one. I'm pretty certain I'm going to see Josh Rosen on the field at some point in time. To think that he doesn't want to be on the field in week two when they play at LA against the Rams, I think that I think you'd be kidding yourself on that one. Of course he does. It may be a better shot that he plays against the LA Chargers later in the year. So it was just interesting to see how he worked that. That's all part of the process. Kurt Warner, if he didn't like a question, he would answer it, and you could tell it kind of gave him the red ass. Carson Palmer, a little bit the same way. This was not Derek Anderson and Kent Summers yesterday. But it was just interesting to see that side of him. On the college football side of the street, so mercifully, thankfully, we're just a couple of weeks away from Arizona State, U of A, and NAU opening up their seasons. I think of the three games, the fact that NAU is favored on the road at UTEP by 7 points tells me that, man, UTEP must just be gosh awful. The fact that U of A and Khalil Tate are playing BYU, that's the best of the three games. And then there's the intrigue factor of what we don't know about Herm Edwards. We have no idea what Herm is going to look like or what the team is going to look like or play like in game number one. We just know we have to be there after the game is over to hear what Herm has to say, because I'm sure it's going to be entertaining. And the high school football season gets started tomorrow night, which I think is very important in everything that we do with sports. We're pro, we're college, we're high school. Go out to a high school game on a Friday, go to a college game or watch a college game on a Saturday, go to the Cardinals game or watch NFL on Sunday. You're going to get a good fill of football, you're going to be well-rounded, and you're going to see players for the future. So just consider that when you're putting your weekend together. Pedro Gomez is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Time now to turn our attention, as promised, to ESPN Baseball Analyst Insider, Man About Town, Pedro Gomez. Always good to catch up with Pedro. Where are you today?
I'm in Ahwatukee. I was in San Francisco this past weekend for the Barry Bonds jersey ceremony, which was more about closure for a few of us reporters that covered him for that time period when he was chasing Aaron.
Okay, so Eric and I were asking each other on the air in the last segment, how would we describe the relationship between Pedro and Barry Bonds? Eric used the word cantankerous. I said strained was probably an understatement. How would you describe the relationship with you and Barry Bonds back in the day?
Back in the day, contentious probably would be a more fitting word. And it was one-sided. Believe me, I was just there doing my job, and I think he just got sick and tired of seeing me every day on national television reporting about him. But, you know, as a reporter, you want to cover a story that is a hot story, and we, for the most part, that story was in the A blocks, you know, the first Sure. 10 minutes of the show. So that's what you want to be doing. You want to be doing relevant stories, and I was just there reporting, and unfortunately, it's a lot like today's climate, where if you're reporting what is happening, there's just a segment of the population that doesn't want to hear it, and you know, they'd rather just tune out rather than know what's going on. And thankfully, you know, we do have a free press that is an important part of our society.
Could you imagine doing that story with the social media in the social media age? What you would have gone through.
Oh, boy.
You would have had to have security, and I'm being serious about this. You would have had to have security.
No. I don't doubt that you are correct. I mean, Disney does provide us, and Disney owns ESPN. Disney does provide security whenever we feel we need it. That's mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. That was then as well. But I probably would not have Facebook or so, or Twitter, just because of the bombardment that I'd probably receive from, you know, probably what is a small percentage, but it would just be relentless, and that would probably make it impossible to have social media for me at that point back then.
You two ever talked about doing a book together?
he would not collaborate with me on that. Although, you know what, we did get him in the hallway on Saturday, and he did stop and talk to a few of us reporters, and when I went to ask him a question, he just looked at me and said, "Yeah, Peter, you're so crazy." And I said, "Oh, I'm the one that's crazy." So, you know, he does at least have a little bit of fun with it all. But, you know, you just wonder when the next time he is going to be front and center, because this was the jersey retirement.
Sure.
The only thing left is the possible enshrinement into the Hall of Fame. And he's had six cracks at it and has not come close. So there's a real possibility with only four tries left that he may not make it on the writer's side. And if it gets to the point where it's on the veterans committee, I don't think he has a shot in hell.
Would you ever vote for him?
I have never voted for him, but that's not just him. I don't vote for anybody that is connected to the steroids, or that through my private conversations with teammates, coaches, and managers, I truly believe is connected. So I have never voted for anybody remotely that I believe remotely is close to the steroid issue.
And I've asked you that question every year that we get together around this time,
yep.
or before this, and you've been consistent on it. I'm just wondering, because I do think that the idea of, you know, I've changed my opinion can always apply to people.
Of course. I don't think in my case I will, but.
Yeah. So the book thing, we just throw it out. We can't do book titles. You don't think somewhere down the road you two are going to sit at a coffee shop in Oakland and look at each other and say, "We got something here, let's do this"?
Highly doubt it, but I do have a great title for it.
Yeah?
Bondage.
Oh my gosh. Come on, Pedro, you got to do it.
I've always thought that was a great title for a possible book with between us.
Did he cause you mental stress on your body during all of that?
Oh, to me, no, absolutely not. I was there working. You know, there were times that it was difficult, but in terms of me breaking down or anything, absolutely not.
Yeah. I know of writers in particular that get so engrossed in a story that it overtakes them at times. So I'm just curious about that. All right. So what did you make? Last question on this, because I want to get over to why Archie Bradley is not good. But on the day that you're there, like you said, was this kind of like Fox News? Was it kind of like MSNBC? If you're one way on the political aisle, you're just going to stand there and say, no matter what, we're going to bow down to you. Is that how it was with Bonds on Saturday?
I would say that it was, you know, that's the one city where he is going to be celebrated no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
He'll receive unconditional love in San Francisco. You know, when Willie Mays got up and grabbed the mic and said, Barry Bonds belongs in the Hall of Fame, of course it brought a standing ovation.
Yeah.
If he were to say that in any of the other 29 ballparks, it would not receive the same reaction. So, you know, it was definitely a tip of the cap from the city of San Francisco to him, from all the Giants dignitaries that they brought in. I thought that the most incredible thing they did was bring in Eric Gagne, who lives here in Paradise Valley. That famous at-bat they had against each other in the bottom of the ninth inning in San Francisco years ago. And, you know, Gagne is somebody that also was tinged by steroids. So you got to wonder if maybe Bonds' steroids at that point were better than Gagne's. But it just goes to show really the ridiculousness of what was going on in the era when, you know, it was just not in the open, of course,
sure,
but it was going on. It was going on, and it's sad for the game.
Talk with Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst, insider. Okay, they're 500, they being the Diamondbacks, in the last 10 games. Archie Bradley, since the All-Star break, not been good. There's no other way to put it. A lot of people like Archie. Yeah. I like Archie personally. How much rope does Torey Lovello give him? It's so late into the season. It really is 6 weeks to go on the stretch. You can't really make a move here, or can you?
I mean, there's still 2 weeks left to make some sort of a trade. But in terms of Archie, Archie's going to be on the roster the rest of the season.
Sure.
And it's one of those things where you probably let him into low-leverage situations at this point to try to gain his confidence back, which is not abnormal. Everybody goes through slumps. Hey, look, Paul Goldschmidt went through a massive slump earlier this season and has obviously turned it around. You go with track records. And look, if Archie Bradley was 35, 36 years old, I'd say now there's no way that they can continue to entrust him in high leverage situations. But at this point, as a manager, and this is one of Torey Lovello's biggest strengths, is he knows how to push the right buttons at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And he has shown that consistently in the two seasons he's been here, as well as when he took over for John Farrell at the end of the Boston time when Farrell was diagnosed with cancer and had to leave the team. And I think that you let Archie come back in low leverage situations, games that are 6-1, you know, 5-0, 7-2, that type of situation, whether you're winning or losing, and just try to regain some confidence, because that really is the biggest thing. I mean, when I talk to major league players, the biggest battle they face is, this is the way they put it, it's you battling you. Mm-hmm. You're not necessarily battling the opponent, you're battling your own mind. And that's what's going on right now with Archie Bradley.
That's well put. There's things around the team while they're in this race. There's also the deadline came and went. Corbin and Pollock, they're not going to be here next year, are they, in your view?
I mean, look, if you had to pick one, I would say that Corbin is the one that you'd have to pick, only because pitching is at such a premium.
Sure.
Everywhere. And you've seen that the Diamondbacks have been able to look, as good a player as Pollock is, and he is, and someone is going to sign him and be very happy with him. But if you have to pick one, I think you have to side with pitching over a center fielder. And you saw this year, I mean, John Jay was available. I'm not saying he's a long-term answer, but you can go out and find
yep.
somebody to play those positions. You can't always go out and find a 1-5 starter. So I would say that if you had to pick one, Corbin would have the better chance of coming back. But look, if he hits the open market, at that point, who knows? Because, like I said, pitching is at such a premium that he could get an offer that could just blow the Diamondbacks out of the water where they can't match it. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that, you know, they gave Greinke that huge contract yep. that still is going to have 3 more years left on it.
Well, Corbin's got the tie into New York. And the Yankees are sitting there. He was yep. asked about it during the season. It's to your point. Yep. It only makes sense that the Yankees are going to back up the Brinks truck. Before I get you out of here, the brawls that have happened this last week, anything going to change on that front? The stance has been this is part of the game or this needs to go away. I don't usually hear anything in between. Where are you out on these brawls, Giants, Dodgers, Marlins, Braves that you've seen this week?
I just don't know that there's an answer, Brad. That's the problem. I think that when a lot of the American-born players go and play winter ball either in Puerto Rico or the Dominican Republic or in years past in Venezuela, they gain a much better understanding of why the Latin ball player plays in the manner that they do. But you're getting fewer and fewer American ball players that play winter ball in the Latin countries. Mm. So they're not getting the same appreciation. And I think the ones that do, though, come back and say, all right, they're not showing up. This is just the way they play down there. They play with a flair and a love of the game, and this is how they express it. But for the most part, a lot of American-born players don't get to experience that. And I think that's where a lot of this is still stemming from. And I wish I knew an answer, and I'm sure Major League Baseball wishes it knew an answer, but I don't know what it is.
Let's go off that. Appreciate your time and your insights. Good stuff there on Bonds in particular. Thanks, Pedro.
Okay, Brad.
See you later. This is Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst and insider. I love that segment. Every week. I love Goody's segment when his phone, to Eric's point earlier, works. That's in about 10 minutes. But Tiger Woods' caddy is in the news today. And this is good stuff. I'll get to it on the other side because it involves you, the fans, and Tiger Woods and hecklers. Pretty cool little story. I'll have that and some other thoughts before we get to Bill. Sports360AZ.com. The spots that you see, the commercials you see, these are people that say, we believe in what you are doing. These are our partners, so we encourage you to support them. Back after this timeout. So before we get to Tiger Woods, tomorrow night is the opening of the high school football season, and we do a lot of high school football on the site, along with college and along with pro. That's just our view is let's really embrace the high school and college end. Neither one really gets as much attention as they deserve, and the NFL is everywhere, and it's fine. We do enough. We have Peter King with us every week. We have Michael Fabiano with us. I think that's plenty of NFL to get to you along with the news of the day. On the high school end, we also have something on the website. I'd encourage you to go check it out. It's on our high school tab. It's CUSD Live, Chandler Unified School District. Tomorrow night, there will be some students doing their first ever play-by-play of a sporting event. It's Star Search. Some of you guys are sitting in your cubicle right now saying, I wish I were anywhere but this cubicle. I wish I had the opportunity to be a sportscaster. So when I started this company, I wanted to give kids the opportunity to be a sportscaster. We created the CUSD Live channel. The kids do the broadcast of the game. It could be sophomores, juniors, seniors. There's even some freshmen that get involved. And they struggle at first, plain and simple. And by the time they get through there, there's kids that have gone on to Cronkite and kids that are doing this as a living as professional announcers. There's times where the announcers don't show up or they don't have them. So Jordan will jump in and do a game. I've jumped in to do a game just to keep myself sharp. I want Haley to consider doing it. Jody Jackson has talked to me about trying her hand at doing play-by-play of football, which I think would be very smart for her. Tomorrow night, there'll be two games up on the site. Pinnacle is hosting Perry, and Chaparral plays at Hamilton. So both of those games will be up on the site tomorrow night when you're out on the sideline bumping around, and I would encourage you to check it out. It's a lot of fun. We have fun on our social media side, our Friday Night 360 AZ hashtag. usually is one of the top trending ones in the state on Friday nights, just something we've established through the years. Eric's going to be over in the Southeast Valley, South Tucson, North Albuquerque for the Castile Centennial game. Jordan's going to be at the Hamilton game. Haley's going to be at Marana against Horizon, I believe is where she's going. And we'll have photographers out, people that just have been in touch with me that want to shoot photo galleries. We'll have someone with Chandler High against Corona Centennial tomorrow night. So that's all on the website, and it's a lot of fun. Make sure you follow us online at Sports360AZ on Twitter. All right? With that said, Tiger Woods. So Bob Herrig, who's great. We tried to get Bob earlier this week after the PGA Championships. It's just scheduling and all that stuff. ESPN senior writer this morning comes up with a story of a guy that got ejected, a heckling spectator with Tiger Woods. So this has happened through the years with Tiger, but this one is pretty funny. His caddy is Joe LaCava. Joe LaCava was a guest on ESPN Radio talking about this and this heckling fan on Tiger Woods a couple of weeks back. Quote, he goes, well, if you give me the $25 I paid for a ticket today, I'll leave. When LaCava said to the fan, get out of here. So I go, here's your $25, LaCava said. Peels the money out, hands it off, pays the guy off. The spectator's still carrying on. Didn't leave, even though he got paid off. He got his $25. It got to the point where LaCava approached security and said, that guy, bounce him, punch his ticket. They eject him. He didn't have a problem, LaCava said, and actually I got a standing ovation for kicking the guy out of there. So he bought the guy's ticket back, and he kept at it. Now, there's times, as you see the backdrop here at the Waste Management Open, where it's known as the Wasted Management Open, where there's fans that just act completely out of their minds. And I have to believe that there's been more than that that we heard about Tiger that has happened at TPC through the years. I remember a few years back that I was walking the course, and it was when Tiger was here and he wasn't good. He was trying to figure it out. And man, fans were just letting him have it. And nobody was saying anything to him because the course was wide open. When he was at 16, it was the polite applause. But to think that there wasn't one person that said, hey, Tiger, you're not any good right now. Which, you know, you don't need to go that far, in my opinion. You can go have some fun with these guys. But by and large, I think fans in golf tournaments, unless they get a few pops in them, have every right to say what they want to say to a point. You don't have to be an ass in front of everybody. You don't need to be the guy that's trying to prove a point that you've got it all figured out. It's a cool little story there. Pedro has been good. Bill, can he be better? We'll have Goody at the movies. He comes up after this timeout. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. Time now for Goody at the movies. In honor of Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul, passing away at the age of 76. You can give me some of this, Jared. Give me a little bit more of it. Bill, there's not many songs better than this, right? You respect one? You like it?
Yes. There are not. And, you know, Otis Redding wrote it. He does a really great version of it, but nothing compared to hers. It's one of those things where one of them is great and one of them is like whatever is better than great. she did that thing that, like, and, you know, Otis Redding is no slouch.
Otis, my man! What? Huh?
She's one of the best ever, but she did that thing that, like, a real artist does, where she took something of somebody else's and she just made it hers. I mean, when you think about song now, I mean, you think of Otis Redding, you think of sitting on the Dock of the Bay and all these other great, great records, but man, that one's hers. You know, she made that. She got that. I was talking with our music person about this the other day, because I'm going to talk about what you might write about it, and I was thinking, like, besides her, and say, like, maybe Paul McCartney and Bob Dylan, who's left that might die of that stature? I mean, everybody's going to die. I mean, you know what I mean?
None of us get out of here alive. Paul McCartney.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe Paul McCartney. Sure. I mean, there's a few that are left. Paul McCartney put on Twitter 3 hours ago, let's all take a moment and give thanks for the beautiful life of Aretha Franklin, the queen of our souls who inspired us all for many, many years and so on and so forth. Barack Obama has tweeted about her. John Legend has tweeted about her, on and on and on. This is one of those big days over on the pop culture side for sure with her passing.
Even Trump did, and he has not been as quick to do that as some previous presidents have. So she's one that kind of, I'll tell you, I was taking my kids to school today, and we were going around the dial, and I was like, somebody's got to be playing Aretha Franklin. I mean, so, you know, we got to find something here. And finally, we found a show, and the guy said, we're going to play Respect by Aretha Franklin, and I can think of no greater tribute than if everybody driving in cars right now just belted it out while they drove along. So my kids just sang right along.
That's good. You raised them well.
Yeah,
that's good. All right, let's go to the movies here. Crazy Rich Asians. Is this movie any good this week?
It is really good. It scores on about 50 different levels. It's not great. I mean, it's not Black Klansman great, you know, but it reminds me in some ways of Black Klansman or Black Panther or Sorry to Bother You. Some of these movies that have come out this year that are really steeped in the culture that they're in, whether it's Black culture or here it's Asian culture, and they make no apologies for it. Either you sign on to that or you don't. And if you don't, you miss out. And this is, it's about this guy who is, he's dating a woman who's an economics professor at New York University. And he wants to take her to Singapore, where his family's from, for a wedding. And it turns out he's like just ungodly rich. I mean, like, I don't know what beyond the 1% is, like whatever little percent there is inside the 1%, but he's that. And she didn't even know it. And of course, like his family doesn't think she's good enough for him. And it sounds like, and it is, just romantic comedy, but it's all sorts of other things. I mean, it's just really, it's funny, and it's got some of those cliches. But it's also the first movie in 25 years to have an all-Asian cast and crew.
Mm.
And the last one was The Joy Luck Club in 1993. Now, that alone doesn't make it a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
But the good thing about this one is it's a good movie in addition to that.
Wow. I like the way you describe that. And just looking at the trailer right now, this looks like it would be really good. And it does look like there'd be some laugh out loud moments.
If there's such a thing as real estate porn, also there's that. I mean, I don't know what goes on in Singapore, but everything in the movie is this mansion. And Awkwafina, who the comedian and rapper, so she's in it. She's this comedian, but she's like the friend of the professor, who's sort of nouveau riche as opposed to the boyfriend, who is like old money. And I would watch a reality show. I would watch 10 episodes right now where Awkwafina just walked around rich people's parties and made fun of them, because that's what she does for about 5 minutes in this movie, and it is fantastic.
All right, so Crazy Rich Asians, go see it. Scotty and the Secret of Hollywood. The title alone leaves me a little skeptical. Was this any good?
The Secret History of Hollywood. Yeah, it's good. Scotty Bowers is this guy. He was a Marine, and he was like a real Marine. I mean, he fought in Iwo Jima and a lot of these really just brutal battles. He got out and he moved to Los Angeles, and he started working in a gas station. And Walter Pidgeon, the actor, came up one day, and he ended up taking the guy to his house and basically having sex with him. Bowers is not gay. He's just sort of everything. I mean, he's married to a woman who had not read the book that this movie is based on, this documentary is based on, and doesn't want to read it. Because what he would do, he realized that for $20, you know, a session or whatever you want to call it, he would provide sexual partners for pretty much everybody in Hollywood.
Mm.
And there's a lot of, I mean, he names names, and a lot of people don't like that. They think, well, these people are dead. They can't defend themselves. But nobody's really questioned the authenticity of it. And, you know, some of the stuff you've heard before is like, you know, Cary Grant and Randolph Scott were roommates. Were they really more than that? And everybody seems to think, yeah, you know, with a wink and a nod, they were more than that. And some of the stuff is not as well known. Like, I mean, I think that people would before claim that Katharine Hepburn was actually gay, but then she and Spencer Tracy, you know, they had this lifelong affair. But his thing is that they never slept together. He would provide men for Spencer Tracy and women for Katharine Hepburn. And, you know, it's stuff like that. But it's also, in addition to the lurid details, it's a pretty good look at you know, the way that Hollywood and the way that the studios, which were all powerful back then, really suppressed people's lives. I mean, you could not be an actor and really, you know, and come out as gay, or it would ruin your career, and you might get arrested on top of it. So, so it's sort of got all the down and dirty details, but it also kind of tells a bigger story too. So it's not great, but it's good and it's certainly interesting.
Is this Camel View? Or wide?
I believe it's a little wider than that.
Is it? Because it looks, I was mistaken on the title and just the view of it. This looks really good. This looks like something I'd want to see, but you'd have to be a movie junkie, right? You got to be a movie junkie in order to enjoy this.
Or a gossip person, a celebrity person.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I wouldn't walk out of there and say, hey, did you know that John Wayne was this, or, you know, so on and so forth. I don't know if I'd do that, but I'm interested in the history side of it, I guess.
What? And on that front, it's interesting too. Yeah, I would say it's definitely interesting. I would say that this is one of those movies that you would lose nothing if you waited until it was available on your TV set.
Yeah, no, I gotcha. I gotcha on that. Anything else going on that is of interest to you? Did you talk to anybody this week in the meat aisle like Spike Lee last week? Which I had people tell me about. They, like, I loved hearing Bill's story about Spike Lee in the meat aisle. So,
I talked to Henry Golding, who stars. He's one of the stars of A Crazy Rich Asians. He plays the rich guy, and and it's interesting because sometimes when you talk to actors, they'll try to lowball the importance of something. And I asked him about this. How, you know, is it really? You know, should we be making a big deal that this is the first? You know. Movie with all Asian cast in 25 years. And he said, absolutely. He said, from my perspective, you should absolutely be making a big deal about it. Because he said, from, you know, if you're an Asian actor, you know, it's hard to get roles like this where you get to be the star. And he said, you know, you get to be the martial artist guy over on the side or something like that. You know, but this is a chance where we really get to do our own thing. And the thing, I'll tell you a thing about, I really liked about this movie, that, like, there's a crucial scene in this movie towards the end that involves a game of Mahjong, the game that you play with tiles and stuff. I don't know how to play Mahjong. I have no idea, but I kind of know what it is. I mean, I know it's a game that you play with tiles. They don't explain the game. They don't explain how it's played. They don't even explain who wins. You have to get all this from the context of what's going on. But you do get how important that game is in this culture, and that both of the women playing, that their mothers had taught them to play. And I just thought that was great. It's like, you know, they didn't need to stop the movie for you know, 45 seconds and say, Mahjong is a game, which is one with a series of tiles, you know, or something like that. And I think that makes for a better movie.
That's good stuff. I'll let you go off that. Appreciate your time as always. Thanks, Bill.
All righty.
See ya. There's Goody at the Movies. Good stuff there. That was really good with Bill. Two good guests. Two good guests, a great producer, people behind the scenes. We have some new talent. We have a new intern that started today, Kennedy. She's scared to death. Devin is a new addition to the team. He is somewhat scared to death. Iron Man is here today. He just shows up. He looks like death. No, I'm just kidding. And, of course, the great Eric Sorensen. We have plenty of content over on our website that you can check out, sports360az.com or Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. Thanks for being with us.